you. I'm not a big shopper. You know me. You know your pastor doesn't like to go into the store. I don't want to go and help out. I saw that they were having a Christmas party for all the Walmart self-checkout employees like myself, right? And so I was going to show up, and they better have my popcorn and my Christmas card and all those things as well. But I was thinking about at my house right now, one of the things that I do is, because I hate the shop, is I am the king of Amazon. Me and Amazon have a long-lasting relationship now. And sometimes it's FedEx or UPS, but sometimes it's the post office. But I've got many of the gifts in transit or already have shown up on my porch, because I would rather just order it and pay the shipping than have to go in and deal with the hustle and bustle of the world and in the stores. And so I was looking tonight, and I was thinking about a sender, a savior, and a solution. A sender, a savior, and a solution. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, you can stand if you're able with me for the reading and honor of God's word tonight. And we look here and we see a familiar portion of scripture for many, a portion of scripture I often quote. And if I could sum up the Bible in one verse, if I could sum up the gospel in one verse, this is the verse that I would personally use to sum up the entirety of all the Bible, of what God did when he sent his son Jesus Christ to pay for our sins. So when we read this verse, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, we pray tonight that you would give us what you want from the word, leave out what you don't want us to hear. Father, I pray that you hide me behind the cross and that you would be with us, that we might see a sender, a savior, and a solution tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one, we see a sender in this portion of scripture. "For he hath made him to be sin for us." Who has made him? The he in the scripture is the Father God. We know the Father God has sent forth the Son. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Listen, the Bible is very clear that there's a sender. There's someone who cared enough about you and I to send the most precious gift in all the world, his son Jesus Christ, into humanity at the right time to die to pay for our sins. Oh, I thank God for someone who's able and willing to send me something. See, I've gotten some Christmas cards and some Christmas gifts in the mail already from some of my aunts and uncles and friends. And when those things come in the mail, what it tells me this is, stamps are going up 2 cents at the beginning of the year, just so you know. What it tells me is they at least cared enough about me to pay for a stamp and seal it on a card and take the effort to put it in a mailbox, and it shows up at my house, and they thought enough of me to send that card. Even better if they put something in the card. And they say, "You know me, I don't care what it is. If it's $10 to Subway, your boy going to use it." Amen. I'll be over there. I'll say, "Can I get the Italian BMT spicy? Could you put onions, pickles, lettuce, tomatoes? Wait, Brother Anthony, you want me to do it? Beans, greens, tomatoes, potatoes, ham, hog, dog, chicken." Man, me and Shirley Caesar were singing. Listen, all I'm saying to you is we will absolutely use if you send something in the car. Now, listen, I'm not out here begging for nothing. I'm just saying if you did put something in it, praise the Lord and hallelujahs. God is the sender of the most precious gift in the form of helpless babe. He sent his son into the world, and he sent him for a reason. He sent him so that you would unpackage him, so that you would take him upon you, that you would take his yoke upon you, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. "Come unto me, all that ye are heavy laden and need rest for your souls, and I will give you rest for your souls." It's a good gift, isn't it? There's a sender. Now, in our culture, our society, it makes no sense to send something that would get destroyed. If I knew that I was ordering something, and on the way, you ever get a package, and when you get the package, it's tore up, and you look inside to make sure that whatever's inside is not torn up. Every once in a while, you might get something that's torn up when you get it, and you got to return to sender. There was an old song to say that, return to sender. You know what I'm talking about? I think they was talking about an old girl that ain't want no more. Say, send her back where she came from. Send her back to her daddy. I don't know all the words and lyrics of the song, but that's how it sings to me. Now listen, I want you to think about this. If you got a package and it was bruised and broken, a package that was torn up, and it didn't get to deliver, it didn't get delivered the way that you wanted it to be delivered as the sender, you'd be all upset about it. If someone called and said, "Did you get the gift? I never heard if you got, if you like the gift," you say, "Well, yeah, I got it, but it was all torn up and all broken." The sender would be brokenhearted about that, wouldn't they? They'd be ready to get on the phone and call the company or whoever it is. But the Father God, the sender, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, Isaiah 53 and verse 10 tells us. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son, to kill him, to send him to die, to pay for our sins. That is an incredible thought, that God the Father would send his only begotten Son in a baby as a package, that he would grow up and that package would be bruised, chastised, spat upon, slapped, punched, beard plucked out, blindfolded, nails through the hand, nails through the feet, pierced through the side, crucified, put into a grave, all because there's a sender who is the Father God. He hath made him to be sin for us. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You talk about a great gift. You know, I got some great gifts in my life. Now, I know some of y'all are going to be embarrassed by this. I told my wife this the other day, and she's not real keen on this idea. But remember I told you I was watching Daniel Boone? One day I woke up. When I was a little kid, man, I had one of them coonskin hats. And I rolled around with that little coonskin hat on. And I really thought, you know, this bald head of mine, it gets cold this time of year, Brother Chuck, amen. And what I thought was, you know what? I might get me another one of them coonskin hats. So I told my wife, please get me another one of those coonskin hats. I would never buy something for myself, but if she wants to buy it for me for Christmas. And my kid said, "Dad, are you really going to wear that all around town and around Trotwood and Troy and Dayton everywhere?" And I said, "Absolutely. If I get that coon, can y'all see me walking here with my little coonskin cap, walking around my little tail bopping like this? I'm going to feel like I got hair. I'm going to be like one of them bougie girls. I'm going to be doing this. Like letting my hair fly. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to be swing your hair back and forth and whip your hair. I'm going to be doing all that. You know, y'all ain't going to be able to deal with me. I'm going to do the whip and nay-nay. My little tail's going to be like this. I'm going to whip. Y'all going to be mad when I got hair because I'm going to act a fool. I'm going to act a new fool when I got hair. Y'all don't like it now, but when we get to heaven and you see your pastor in heaven and I got my Michael Jackson afro up there in heaven, y'all better know I'm going to be automatic, systematic. I'm going to be up there doing all kinds of things with my new hair. Now, y'all get mad at me if you want to. I'm going to get an S curl. I'm going to put some soul glow in it. Y'all going to be salty when you see me in heaven, because when I get my new hair in heaven, I'm going to act a new fool. I'm just telling y'all. Now, that don't got much to do with anything tonight. I just want you to know that's how I'm going to act. When you see your pastor up there in heaven, don't try to act like you don't know me, because I'm going to have it braided up, twisted up, way up high, way down low, way out to the side. You're going to be like, "Pastor got his hair fried, dyed, and laid to the side. What's going on in heaven?" And I'm going to say, "Praise the Lord, I got new hair." Amen. Now, some of y'all ain't dealing with that in your life, but if you've dealt with it like I've dealt with it, you'll understand how important it is. That's going to be a gift when I get to heaven. That's the first thing the Lord's going to bless me with. He's going to, "I anoint you with new hair, Bryce." And I say, "Thank you, Lord." Now, listen. I'm so glad for that gift that God gave me. It's better than a coonskin cap. It's better than new hair. When God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, what he did was split the world wide open, and so that we don't have to split hell wide open, his son split humanity wide open, stepped into it, died, and then he looked at the devil and said, "You can't even touch me. I defeated this death, this hell. I defeated the grave. And all those who believe in me, they're coming with me." See, I want you to understand there's a Savior in this passage. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin." Sin for us who knew no sin. Who is the him? The him is our Savior, Jesus Christ. The hymn in our text, Matthew 1:21, a familiar verse we use at Christmas, "And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." John 1:1-3, we talked about it at our Young at Hearts ministry. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word," in verse 14, "became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten Son of the Father." Listen, in all of his glory and all of his love, we have a kinsman redeemer, a Savior who stepped into humanity, who has been tempted and went through all things in such fashions as you and I have. Jesus got talked about. Jesus had people that hated him. Jesus had people that said they loved him but betrayed him. Jesus had people on earth who doubted him. He's just like us. He felt everything like us. He felt aches and pains from walking all day. Sometimes his eyes got blurry when he looked up at the sun too fast. Sometimes he had a headache. Sometimes his back might have hurt a little bit. He felt everything and dealt with everything like us. And so he knows, as a kinsman redeemer, just how to save us. "Someone who made me, and because of my own failures, I was lost, but the Savior died to buy me back." He died to buy me. You ever have something, a gift that was given to you, and it was a really good gift, but you lost it, or you broke it, or something bad happened to it? Can I tell you a story? My wife's out there working in Awana, so let's keep this between us. The first, where I'm from, we call that a snitch. Now listen, snitches get stitches. Don't talk too loud, okay? Brother Anthony, handle your business. All right, now listen. My wife, I was 21 years old, I decided, you know what, she kind of cute. And Beyonce hadn't sang the song yet, but I knew if you like it, you better put a ring on it. So I went ahead, purchased that ring, and it cost me my whole life savings. I mean, it cost me everything. And she told me not to buy her this ring, but she had these bougie little friends that said, "Yeah, that's the one, that's the one." And I said, "I love her. I'm going to buy it." So I spent my whole life savings. It wasn't much. Don't get all out of pocket. Don't think that I was out there just balling. It wasn't that much, all right? And years later, I don't know, it was too big when I got it. You know, Chandra probably weighed all of 98 pounds when we got married, and so it was already too big. I think it was supposed to be a 4. It's like a 4.5, and we tried to put the prongs in, and I tried to do everything I could, but you try finding a size 4 ring, all right? It wasn't that easy. And I remember about 6 years in our marriage, she lost that ring. And I said, "Girl, we could have had a bigger house if you would have just kept that ring." And so she was ringless for a little bit. And then our 10th anniversary, almost 10 years ago now, I got her another ring. But you know what? She was worth buying another ring for. She lost that first ring, and we have no idea where it's at. For all I know, somebody is out there, and it wasn't expensive enough that they're out there, like, living real good. They could have ate at McDonald's 3 or 4 times with it. You know what I mean? But listen. But she was worth it for me to go and buy another ring and put another ring on her finger and say, "Baby, I love you so much that I want you to have..." Somebody said, "Don't lose it." That's exactly what I said to her, too. I said, "If you lose this one, you're not going to get another one. You're going to pay for the next one." You know what I mean? That's the part I don't want you to tell. I said that, but she don't like when I say that. Now, listen, God the Father didn't say this is the last one. He said, you sinned and you sinned over and over and over again. You keep messing up. You keep falling. You do good for a little bit. You fall back into sin. You did good. And God the Father said, no, I already sent a son. And the Savior says, you know what? I already died to pay for those sins. And so he says, I've redeemed you to myself, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. He lost you when you were born into sin, but he came into earth and he grabbed you and he bought you back and he redeemed you to himself. That's what the Savior did for us. He said, no matter how many times you messed it up, no matter how many times you lost it, no matter how many times you struggled, he says, what I did is I came into humanity and I saved you from all those things. And you can't lose it. You can't give it back. Once I got you, I got you. I like those little stories. We have folks in our church family who are adopted. And I like when people get on Facebook and say, this is your gotcha day. See, there's a born day, isn't there? Everybody has a birthday, I'm glad my parents are my parents, but sometimes gotcha day look pretty good. I don't know. But somebody's been adopted into a family, and I can only imagine the Savior came into the world, and when you got saved, God the Father said, today's your gotcha day. Because somebody, a family came in and rescued and took someone who may not have had those biological parents there, and they came in and rescued and said, but I love you and I want you and come with me and we're together. And the Bible says, and we were adopted into the family of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, I'm so glad that I'm adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood cannot separate. The blood is the blood. My kids say all the time, oh, when I get older and I'm a move out and I'm going to do this. My oldest son now is talking about, Dad, maybe in a couple years, maybe I could rent your house from you. Where I'm going to go? That's what he said to me. Maybe I could rent your house from you. Where I'm supposed to live at? But either way, all I know is this, no matter how old they get, no matter how far away they go, they're always related because of the blood. And when you are adopted into the family of God, you are related by the blood of Christ, the Savior of the world, because he gave, there is a fountain filled with blood. And listen, this is that fountain, that blood right there is a weird type of blood. It's crimson blood, and it takes crimson stain and makes you white as snow. It says no more sin is there. It's a weird thing. You ever spill grape juice on a white shirt? Good luck getting that out. Jesus said, you got grape juice on a white shirt. Here's my blood. It'll make it as white as it's ever been. That don't make no sense. That's how you know it's supernatural. That's how you know it's God talking. Because in our mind, it don't make any sense. We'd be trying to get some OxyClean, some bleach. We'd be trying to get scrubs out. We'd be looking at some infomercial that says they can get everything out of anything. We'd be doing all this thing. But wait, there's more. We'd be looking for all that, wouldn't we? And Jesus says, here's my blood. Sprinkle a little bit of that on there. And watch how I get that thing right up out there. Oh, it's amazing, the Savior we have. But then there's a solution. I see a solution here. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't just save you. God saves you and allows you to grow and begin to have his righteousness. Righteousness means everything right with God. I tell people all the time, you start off as a baby Christian, but you ain't supposed to stay there. You're supposed to grow up. If you knew better, you do better. We grow up because you don't just stay where you stay. If you stay where you've always been, then ain't nothing really changed. When you're born again, something happens, doesn't it? Something changes. I was working with the nursery children this morning, and it's great to see them at different levels. And we got lots of them that are at the same level. The barely walkers, the ones that have been walking for 5 or 6 months, and they walking around like a chicken hawk because they know that they just can walk a little better than the little babies. And then we got one that can't walk just yet, but he's looking all around, and he wants to go, but he can't get up and do nothing yet, and he's looking and looking and looking. And then we got a couple that are just real, real little, and they don't even know what's going on. They just want mommy all the time. But listen, this is what I was realizing. They all grow up. They all don't stay. If we had a 4 or 5-year-old in that condition that was just sitting there and wouldn't get up and get their own snack, we'd be saying, you're lazy. You're ridiculous. Boy, if you don't stop boo-booing on yourself and go to the bathroom, Come on, all you parents have been there before. You'll be like, when is this child going to get potty trained? If you got more than one of them got potty trained when they were real young, and the other one just keep on playing games. You'll be like, your sister got potty trained when she was 18 months. What's wrong with you? You know what I'm talking about? And you'd be like, could you hurry up? I'm tired of buying diapers. You tried potty chairs. You tried all kinds of stuff, and they just looking at you like you short. We ain't about to get on that potty chair. Listen, all I'm saying to you is this. When you are new, when you're young, there's a point where you got to grow up. Jesus Christ died. God sent him, the Savior, so that there could be a solution, because charity covers a multitude of sins. But what he says is this, you have to understand that I don't want you just to stay in the condition that I came to die for you in. I came so that when I die for you, you would understand that it would resonate with you and say, you know what? This man died for me. The least I can do is live for him. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says, you're blessed because I've called you friends in John 17. Now watch this. You know what's amazing to me about the solution? The solution is the blood of Christ, right? It covers all the sins. But here's kind of what's crazy about the solution. If I wish I had a Bible reader here. Just one or two, Brother Anthony. If I had just one or two, maybe even three or four tonight, we'd finish this thing out tonight. We'd be really on time. It'd be a short sermon if I get two or three Bible readers. Now the people are going to say amen. They're going to say, yes, Pastor. They're trying to get out of church. Y'all looking at Hardee's and Wendy's and all these other things. Listen to me. Listen real close. Sometimes we hear the word of God preached, or we read the Bible, we hear all these miraculous stories, and we act like it's just no big deal. You know, I like reading through my Bible, and I see all these different things, and right now, I told you, pray for me. I'm in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. I'm in the book of Romans in the New Testament. It's going to take me about 70 years to read Numbers because I read it, and I fall asleep. I wake up, and I say, Lord, I love your word. I promise you I do. And then he says, Moses told the children of Israel to do that. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I woke back up. It's hard. I ain't going to lie to you. He said, the preacher, you don't like to read the book of Numbers? I'm just a man. I'm a human being. It's hard to read Leviticus, and then your reward for finishing Leviticus is the book of Numbers. Oh, I can't wait to get to Deuteronomos. You know what I'm talking about? But you know what? What I read and all that stuff is God does some amazing stuff, doesn't he? I read through, and I just got through the book of Acts, and I told you before, I'm not into snakes, Brother Chuck, and Paul, they're sailing out, and that viper, that venomous snake gets a hold of Paul's hand, and he raises it up, and Paul just looks at it and throws it in the fire and burn up, and those pagan people in Ireland are like, oh, Lord, this man must be God. Listen to me right now. They might not think I'm God of a poisonous snake, but I'm going to be screaming, oh, God, when that poisonous snake get on me, because I ain't about a snake, whether he's poisonous or not poisonous. If I see a snake, I run. Now, listen. But sometimes we read the Bible and it just seems, we just read through it like it's just casual. Let me give you an example. We read our Bible. Let's just use the New Testament. We read through and we're like, oh, that's just so nice. Jesus fed 5,000 with just some little loaves and little fish. That's just, well, that's wonderful. Oh, the apostle saw Jesus and he was walking on the water. And Peter said, bid me to come unto the water with you, Lord. And Peter walked on the water too. And then he began to sink. And it's just so wonderful that Jesus was walking on water and he saved him. Isn't that so great? We'd be like, oh, yeah, Jesus, there was a blind man come and he was crying out, thou son of David. And Jesus like, here, come over here, let me heal you. And go on about your business. There's a man in the temple and he has a messed up hand and Jesus says, here, let me straighten that out for you. It's all good. And we're like, oh, that's good. There was a man that had a legion of devils in him and they're going crazy and say, who art thou, Jesus? What have I to do with thee? And Jesus said, come up out of them, go down here into these pigs and let them go crash into the sea and commit suicide. And when that happens, we just read it and we're just like, oh, no big deal, no big deal at all. We just read our Bible and we just act like it's just no big deal. Come on now. Now, you can get mad at me all you want. I never desired to be the pastor of a stiff church that can't say hallelujah and amen. When we say that Jesus walked on the water, that ought to do something to you. Because I don't know nobody else that ever walked on water. It's a real big deal for me because I can't swim. So if somebody's walking on the water and they cruising and grooving on the water, that's a real big deal to me because I can't even doggy paddle with it. You know what I'm talking about? And we read that in our Bible, and we're just like, oh, Jesus, that's so cute. Jesus was walking on water. Some of y'all have had more month than money, and you haven't had enough to eat in your pantry, in your cupboards. And if somebody came into your house and said, oh, what do you have here? And they say, oh, we got a couple little fish and five little loaves of bread. And they said, you know what? Bring all your friends and your family over. We're about to have Thanksgiving up in here, and I'm about to make all this. And we frying it up, and you know it was catfish. And Jesus was frying it up, and he put the hot sauce onto the side. He said, you know what? We might as well take this bread. It's got to be unleavened, but it don't mean it can't be popular. Poppy seed, and Jesus was hooking it all up, and he didn't even have to get no pots and pans or turn the oven on. He just said, there it is, and there's enough that you're going to just keep being filled. And we read that in the Bible, we're like, oh, no big deal. But if it happened at your house, you'd be like, Lord, my Lord and my God, who are you? But you read in the Bible, you're like, no big deal. What about this? There's a lady that had cancer 12 years. She's walking around. She stinks. Nobody wants to be around her. She's unceremonially clean. She can't be a part of society. She's walking to try to get through all the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. Jesus is walking. The apostles say silly things all the time. And Jesus says, somebody touch me. They said, Lord, there's hundreds of people around here. You ask who touched me? He's like, no. Y'all don't understand me. Somebody touch me. And he looks around, and the woman standing there, he says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. He healed her cancer. It dried up. From that day, the issue of the blood, we assume was a type of cancer. From that day forward, and we read that, we're like, oh, good. But if it was your mama or your grandmama who touched the hem of the garment of the healer and they were healed that day, you'd say, Lord, amen. You're my Savior and my King. You're the solution. So we read the Bible sometimes, and we just act like it's just everyday events. We just act like it's just everything going on. We look back at Moses, and God said, you know what, Moses, go ahead and raise that rod up in the air. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the water just raise up on each side. And then y'all are going to walk through it on dry land. It ain't even going to sprinkle on you just a little bit. Some of y'all can't get enough of that story. You say, oh, Moses, they crossed the Red Sea. Every little boy and girl, every little Christian knows the story of Moses in the Red Sea. Even in football today on TV, somebody said the offensive line made a big hole. And they said it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. Everybody knows that. But then when we read through it in the book of Exodus, we act like it's just no big, oh yeah, God, he put a whole sea to its side and let the people walk through it. Oh, no big deal. Let me say this to you. You ain't got to yell and shout and get excited about Jesus like me, but I do feel like if you're really, really saved, at the minimum, when you read and you hear the word of God, it should send a little shiver down your spine. Just at the call of the name of Jesus, it ought to do something to you. It ought to make you feel like a hyena in the Lion King when they call Mufasa. Ooh, do it again. You know what I'm talking about? It ought to do something to you when the name of Jesus is called. You ought to be able to lift up his name in praise. You ought to be able to shout. At minimum, if you don't like my preaching, that's for you, and you ain't got to worry about that. But when we singing them good old songs with that good old doctrine, whether it be a hymn or praise and worship, the least you can do is open your mouth and act like you like God. Now, because there's a solution. Aren't you glad there's a solution to the problem? Now, I end with this. For he hath made him to be sin, the sender, for us who knew no sin, Jesus, no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that we would apply the solution. Now, I don't know how true this is. Now, this is going to sound grotesque, but I want to make a point. Anybody remember Ocho Cinco, football player Chad Johnson? I believe one of our kids in the nursery got a Chad Johnson jersey on tonight. Now, I heard this before when I was a young athlete because my family's from the country, and country people do country things. And there's nothing worse than country ghetto people. That's what my family is. And so when you add the two, it make crazy people like me. But listen, that's for another time. We ain't got time to go into all my problems today. But listen, I want you to understand this. I want you to hear this real clear tonight. He was saying in an interview or a podcast, I don't know, I was reading this, and that when they would have a sprained ankle, that they would take and they would have guys urinate in a bucket. And that they would, they said, was it your urine? He was like, sometimes it was my teammate. And they would take their ankle and stick it in the boat and soak it in the bucket of urine. Now, I heard this before. I heard this. I told you, my parents are, when I was a little kid, this is the true story, one of the remedies they said for acne was to take your first morning pee and rub it on your face in the morning. That's a real remedy, y'all. Listen, I told y'all it's going to sound grotesque, but that's real, real. Now, listen, y'all say, I don't know about that, but I know this much. Sometimes country people got some of the best remedies. I don't know what was in that stew my grandmama used to make when we got the flu. It stunk like the high heavens. She never did tell me what was in it, but I got a little inclination that I wouldn't have ate it if I knew. But boy, you take a sip of that and your chest will open right up. You was singing way down low like Barry White. You know what I'm talking about? You was sick, baby. You sound like the Temptations, silent like Merry Christmas from the Motown family. But the next thing you know, you take a scoop of that and you hitting high notes like Whitney Houston. And I don't know what was in it, but it worked. Now listen, I don't know if soaking your ankle in urine really works, but I know this, that if it's going to work, the thing you got to do is you can't just look at it, you got to put your foot on in. I know if that soup was going to work and make me whole again and make my chest open up, that whatever grandma had in that soup, I had to take a little spoonful of it. All I'm saying to you tonight is if you want the solution, the righteousness of God, you've got to apply the blood of God. You've got to apply what the sender has sent, who is the Savior of the world. And once you've applied that solution, and that solution, you can use it over and over and over again. Because when you get a good recipe, you use it over and over and over again. I heard a man say this at Thanksgiving time. He said, Thanksgiving is for the all-stars. Thanksgiving ain't for you to come and try something new. Amen. We need the good cooks on Thanksgiving. It ain't time for Ray Ray to bring some stuff he ain't never made before. We need some people to come up here. We need our grandmamas. We need our aunts and our uncles, the people that know what they're doing. It ain't time for you to bring that potluck in that nobody tastes before. That's all fine and dandy on a regular Saturday, but not at Thanksgiving. You come up in here at Thanksgiving with that original recipe, that thing we know, that bought, tried, and true recipe. It ain't time for you to make up some kind of special casserole ain't nobody ever heard of and bring it to Thanksgiving dinner. Nah, bring what you usually bring. Bring them yams that taste so good all the time. Bring them collard greens. If you don't know how to make them collard greens and get them bugs out of, stay up out of my house. Amen. Listen to me. You got to make sure that if you got the recipe, you use the recipe. Listen, we have the recipe. It's the blood of Christ, and we must apply it every single day. We don't need no new recipe. We don't need no new word. We don't need no new anointing. We don't need no new preachers. We don't need no new churches. We don't need no church clothes. We don't need no new programs. We don't need no new radio stations. We don't need no new Christian music. All we need is the same recipe that we've always had. The solution is Jesus Christ. Amen. I say to you this evening, I'm so glad that God the Father is a sender. I'm so glad that God the Father sent a Savior. I'm so glad that that Savior is the solution, the remedy for my sin and your sin. And he's able to put the righteousness of God upon you so that we might become and be made the righteousness of God in him. Every head bowed, every eye closed this evening. We